Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we the lawyer way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we been loyal even when we wasn't women. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis in your ears. You.
Awesome. Bobby the Bears.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 275 of 79th and Hallis. It is your boy Scott and Flo's here. After a very adrenaline pumping Bears game, not just an adrenaline pumping Bears game, adrenaline pumping sports weekend, I am exhausted. Okay, from the Bears game, from the Arsenal game this morning, from Ohio State trying to mess up my Saturday yesterday by playing with their food in the first half yesterday. But 3-for-3, baby. But the Bears, 25-24, they are 2-2. Just like we both said they would be in the preseason. Didn't happen the way that either one of us thought this would happen. But they are 2-2 heading into the bye week as they will get time to rest up, get some of their key guys back like TJ Edwards, Colston Loveland, and Kyler Gordon before heading to Monday Night Football in D.C., which I will be in the building, for a rematch of last year's game that we had no business losing against the Washington Commanders, man, who are looking pretty beatable right about now. And you know they're going to be playing the Hail Mary all week. You know they're going to be thinking about revenge. They might not say it, but they're going to be thinking about it. Joe, I'm going to tweet out the links. I'm going to let you take the floor about what you are feeling right now.
Well, it's interesting that you said that because I was literally trying to tweet the link myself. But what I'm feeling is cautious optimism. When I mean cautious optimism, it's the fact that, okay, now the Bears are starting to do things that a smart team would do. You know what I mean? They're coming back when they have played a terrible half. They're making the plays when they're given the opportunity. They're being ball hungry again on defense. And for me, that's a good sign of a trend forward for this team. Because in years past, that's something the Bears have severely lacked. I mean, if we're thinking of since the Lovey era, I can't think of when it ever happened, at least consistently. I really like what I saw from Caleb today. Wasn't perfect, obviously, but I saw him fight. I saw him bounce back. I saw him make tough throws. That touchdown to Romo Dunze was just a beautiful ball with men all over him. And then the fact that you had to deal with, in that first half, Max Crosby was all field. It almost looked like Max Crosby's going to beat the Bears by himself. And to see him come back, to see him play well, then to see Ozzie Trapillo come in at right tackle, and I thought, man, this is it. This is your first big test, your first anything as a rookie, and you're going against one of the best in the league, and he handled his own. I'm cautiously optimistic. The cautious part is the fact that this is still the Chicago Bears. And that's another thing. They survived a coming out party of a player. I have seen a lot of coming out parties since watching the Bears since I've been a child. Probably the most memorable is what I said. I want to say either it was last week or 2 weeks ago. It was AP's Benny Hansen. it was AP's coming out party, Adrian Peterson's coming out party. I don't have to say coming out party. It was his best year, period. Best game, period. I want to say he had 275 yards rushing. I remember that game so vividly because I remember him juking Peanut Tillman into the ninth circle of hell. And so I've seen what it's like to have coming out parties for the Bears, and to see this, to survive someone who was one of the best college running backs of all time, and he played spectacular. Though I will say he played good. Part of that was on that 60-something yard run, which Kevin Byard, you know, people say, oh man, how could he not tackle him? He's a hard person to tackle. It don't matter if you were at the NFL level or college level. All the power is in his lower body, so I'm not boss. So I'm not shocked that didn't happen. But yeah, this was a good win for the Bears. Ugly win, but at the same time, I was thinking about it because as the Bears were playing, I'm like, you know what? I'm normally I'm at Hallis Hall. Normally I'm in a press box, Hallis Hall. Normally I'm in a press box or whatever games the Bears are at. And so I don't really have time to do anything else. So if they suck, I got to deal with it there. I got to be able to communicate to everybody who's watching and paying attention to us for the updates. And I was like, you know what? I'm here at home. I'm not traveling to Vegas. Let me go do something else while the Bears are playing. Let me put the game on my phone, watch that while I'm doing something to occupy myself. So when something happens, I ain't got to be pissed. I was washing my car. So I'm washing my car, and I'm seeing all this happen. And I'm like, you know what? They are just fighting. That first half, I'm like, it's a miracle. It's 14-9. A good team would have been smoking the Bears. And so they had an opportunity. They came back, man. They did their thing. So this is definitely a cautiously optimistic feeling that I have right now.
Yeah, I'll be able to sit down and actually, like, digest, you know, whatever the upcoming, well, we got 13 games left later. Once I'm able to actually sit down and digest the whole game, there's a lot of question marks, still a lot of bad things. But I tweeted at the beginning of the game, this is one of those ugly games that you got to win that you don't care about how you win. But what I loved about it, all three phases messed up. Like, offense messed up, defense messed up, the special teams messed up, but all three phases made winning plays to win the game. You know what I'm saying? The defense, you got to understand, defense, we can give them shit, but defense is playing without three of the best players. Jalen Johnson probably done for the remainder of the year. Kyler Gordon still waiting to make his season debut. T.J. Edwards played a half in Detroit, and that was it. And they went out there, and they got four turnovers. You know what I'm saying? I know they got run over by the running game of the Raiders. Like I said, a lot of that was off that big chunk play by Jenty. I'm not gonna go in on Kevin Byard on that. Kevin Byard had two interceptions today. He had some big hits. And also, Jenty is like, what, 10 years younger than Kevin Byard. So, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes things like that happen. And but I think it was a great win. You know, Josh Blackwell has been on this team for I don't know how long. Was Josh Blackwell here in 2018? I feel like he's been here that long almost.
I don't know.
I think about somebody else. I don't know, but he's been here at least 5 years. At least 5 years, Josh Blackwell. He got the block off a kicker who hasn't.
He's been here since 2000. He's only been here for 3 years.
Okay, three. I'm thinking about somebody else. I'm thinking
that's
about
his whole career, but he's that's okay. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but Josh Blackwell, great block. But what we saw today is what we've been seeing from Caleb Williams since he got in this league. How many times has Caleb walked down people last year and it didn't matter because the defense did some bonehead shit or Matt Eberflus did some bonehead shit? Multiple times. He did it against Minnesota at home last year. He did it against Green Bay at home last year. Played and made Tom Brady giggle in his seat. He did it against Washington twice in the same game. And messed up on the Hail Mary. And he did it. He just looks – you know what's funny about it? This is how I know that he is a big game player. He looks cool, calm, and collected. And I don't know about you, Joe, when you watching it. I had fear that the offensive line might mess it up, maybe the running game messed up. I had no fear that Caleb was going to mess it up. Right. None.
Right.
And that was just good. Yeah, and man, you said it. Kyro Sandoz, NFC Special Team Player of the Year. Say what, yo, everybody, including us on this podcast, because I know, shout out to the homie Kyle. He said he was telling y'all to shut up. We have all gone in on Kyro Santos. Kyro, I don't apologize for past stuff I've said, but you had a great game today. Alex said NFL leader and takeaway Chicago, which is crazy. You know what I'm saying? This was just an overall great win. Can we give it up for the head coach of Chicago Bears, Ben Johnson? And I'm going to say that because this, he's still learning what players to use. You know what I'm saying? He's still trying to get used to being a play caller and to be a head coach. And Alex, you're right. Tyreek Stevenson, bro. So much dirt has been thrown on his name these last two games.
By us too.
Look, we'll keep it a bean. We'll keep it a bean if we're wrong about something. We've been talking about Tyreek too. But these last two games, baller. You know what I'm saying? But Ben Johnson still learning. But he called some great play calls. And more than anything, he's becoming a head coach. And I say that because this team believes in him. And in the past, the Bears lose this game 99.99% of the time. Bears don't win games like this. Bears lose games like this. So that was amazing to see. I really just want to talk about this game tonight. I don't want to think about in the future. We got all bye week to do that. You know what I'm saying? We got the week of the Washington game. We got plenty of time to talk about the next 13 games because there's a lot of things that need to be fixed, and there's a lot of things that probably will not be fixed until next year when there's better people in it. And we saw that last couple of weeks in this season. There's a lot of players that I do not want here next year. But big win, 2-2. You know it's got to be a major leap in that locker room right now. Joe, you played football, even though it was in high school. What is it like momentum-wise? What is it like momentum-wise when you get a win that you weren't supposed to get and you're now at 500 or respectable level?
Well, it makes you feel better about yourself. Now, obviously, that's a kind of a simple answer. But the thing about football is it is such a week-by-week driven league. Now, there are teams that have just wonderful sort of history and tradition about themselves that they know how to deal with these sort of things. They know how to weather the storm. But when you're a young team that's trying to figure it out, you're trying to understand who you are, these sort of wins sort of make you think, wow, I can keep up with people. I can do this. We can actually be a good team. We can actually get momentum and do better because if Nikhil was editing this, he would have the coach music playing. But when my junior year, when we almost went to the city title, my junior year with Kyrie, we played three games. We played Mount Carmel for the preseason prep bowl. Was that my first year or my second year? That was my second year. Our first year we played, I want to say it was Stag. We played Sterling and one other team. I can't remember. We end up getting smoked by Sterling, getting cheated by Stag. Scott was at that game when somehow
that was the longest game I've been. We was just like 2 a.m., bro. The game started at like 7.
Like, okay, just be very quick as a fact. If you've been following us for a while, you probably heard this. But the scoreboard apparently went out in the fourth quarter, regular 15-minute quarters. And so we get the ball, and we probably think we take 6 minutes off the clock, 1 minute goes off. They get the ball and super quick drive to take the lead. Super quick. Somehow we have a minute left. We're like, what? So anywho, we lost three straight games, and we're thinking, yeah, we're trash. Like, yeah, we're. And so when you start thinking you're trash, it's like, you know, the so a man thinks so, so shall he be, or so shall he is. And that's what ended up happening. So when you get this, when you lose that first game to a quarterback you should have never lost to, when you get smoked by the division winner from last year, you come back and you win a big game against the Cowboys and smoke them, and then you have to come back in the next game, it makes you think, okay, yeah, we actually have what it takes to keep up with teams. And that's an invaluable thing that many people don't know about football. It is so driven by momentum. And momentum, I know, I'll never forget Bomani Jones said, oh, it doesn't exist. That's someone who's not an athlete. It's a non-athletic person.
I love Bomani, but that was one of the dumbest things he's ever said.
I don't look like he got an athletic bone in his body. And so I'm not shocked.
There's momentum in every sport on planet Earth.
Momentum is just a colloquial way for us to say your confidence level and your muscle memory. When those two are out of sync, then you're just going to start losing. So when you get those big wins, that starts to build up and the momentum goes. So, yeah, it's huge for them.
Yeah, man. I'm just one thing, man, about sports, bro. You know, and first of all, those couple people in my mentions who obviously have just followed me when I was tweeting throughout the game, like, oh, we're suffering to lose this. And it was like, stay on that side. First of all, man, like, I eat, sleep, breathe, shit, Chicago Bears football. Okay. Like, I think Joe has the easiest time controlling his emotions when it comes to this thing. I have the hardest. Like, by far, it is hard for me. But I also have been down this road too many times. So I'm definitely still got PTSD. You know what I'm saying? I just knew this was going to happen. Also, a little thing called reverse psychology that I like to use. So, yeah, anybody thought I was seriously rooting against my team, you're a fucking idiot. And I don't know why you follow me. But, man, I think when you have a team, and you tweeted this earlier, Joe, this team is still in rebuild mode. It is very, very important for a team as young as this one is to learn how to win. I've been saying that for weeks. This is a team that lost 10 in a row last year, bro. 10 in a row, this team lost last year, and that gets demoralizing. Whether you're making the playoffs or not, losing is demoralizing. You do not want to go, you know, you do not want to go into the bye week 1-3 and, you know, have all this bad feelings in here like, yo, are we ever going to win? So this was big. It's big for the program. It's big for Ben Johnson. It's big for everybody to get that win. You know what I'm saying? So is that was just something to me that is huge. Timothy says, I don't know this Bears shit or what Scott runs in from the other room. I should Chicago But yeah, man, that was just big. So there's a lot of things I want to talk about. We're going to talk about the things that they did mess up today. We just don't want to, you know, pinpoint the good things. Right, you know what I'm saying? Jimmer says, honestly, I wouldn't have been mad that if we lost. I just wanted to see Cam make a big quarter drive when the game is ready. I kind of agree, but I'm also thinking the team needs to win games. Like, I think there's enough talent on this team for them to win games. Right. And I want them to see win games. I don't want to be in year – how many years was Justin here with us? Justin was at 3 years? Three. I don't want to be in year five of box score watching with the quarterback.
You know, hey, at least Caleb did good, nigga. I don't care. No,
that doesn't, yeah, that doesn't feed me. I want the wins to go with it.
It doesn't feed me, bro.
It doesn't feed me, bro. But yeah, that's why I needed that win. And first of all, this kickoff rule gotta stop because this is not the first game where you kick the ball off and they're instantly in field goal range. It's terrible. It is terrible, bro. I hate it.
The kickoff rule, I think, is a great addition to football because it forces you to pay attention to that. You just can't get a touchback and think it's going to get better. No, you actually need to return it. And the way it's set up, it allows for it to be less potentially lethal or potentially deadly than it was before. My only tweak is if you don't get it to the landing zone, there's no way that should be the 40. The 40 is nuts. My thought is this. If you're a player who gets the ball at right at the edge of the goal line where you can take it out of the end zone and you kneel that bad boy, you're getting it up to 20. That would be my rule. If it's kicked out the back of the end zone and you don't give the team a chance to run it, they get it at the 25. If you don't make it to the landing zone, they get it at the 30 and leave it at that. So you have it. So if you try now, if you pick it up in the back of the end zone, well then no, you're fine. That's on them. But if you're that front of the end zone and you're grabbing it and you don't take it out, then you get at the 20. Because at the end of the day, you still need them to drive. Starting at the 35 is just a lot. Starting now, of course, if you get in that landing zone, you got to take it. And it's hard. Kickers will probably have to work on their precision. And it's like when they move the extra point back. They move the extra point back. We saw a mess of misses. You know what I mean? And so because of that, I think we give this, as the season progresses and we get to next season, kickers will get very good with making sure it's in that landing zone. And after that, I think we'll be fine. But I think they do need to tweak it. 40 is just, I think it's the 40 if you don't make the landing zone. That's just, that's a lot. You give it a mic. So essentially, you're giving them 15, 20 yards, and then you can attempt a field goal. That's not a lot. Take that back a little bit. Especially now that, as we saw today, there was a kicker who kicked a 65-yarder. A 65-yard kick is nuts. And so we have kickers who are making impossible odds from almost midfield. We have to make sure we put that back because the kickers are just getting too good. Which goes back into Cairo. I do want to give Cairo credit on a good game. He's very accurate under 50. But 57 yards in today's NFL is not like 2005 where it's like, man, this is gonna be a big one. No, 57 yards needs to be completable for the kicker. So I have a sort of iffy reaction. He's a very accurate kicker under 50.
Jimmer said, "Give Cowboys a first for that kicker. Do not give Ryan Poles any ideas."
Okay. Look at Matt Eberflus. What did he wear glasses? Anyway,
when he started getting the shit kicked in, that's okay. When he started wearing glasses. I do not care about the Sunday night game. We're going to watch today's highlights on repeat. We're going to watch that Caleb drive with Mariah Carey hero playing in the background. That's what we're going to do today. You know, when your team wins, you watch every highlight. You want to watch every media hit. I'm going to have – my watch later is going to be filled with national media. Yo,
that big ass Guardian cap. I'm sorry. That big ass Guardian cap is crazy.
They should just rename the
just make the Guardian cap bigger. Just make the helmet bigger.
CTE no, I'm saying they need to rename the AT&T Stadium to Jordan Love Arena. Because he'd be busting their ass up in the enough. But anyway, let's talk about where you want to start first. You want to start with QB1 or you want to start with Ben Johnson?
Are these the positives we're talking about?
Yes, positive. We're gonna do positives, then we're gonna do negatives.
I will start with QB1, Caleb Williams.
Okay.
Want
me to name his stats out real quick?
Yeah.
So Ben, Caleb went 22 of 37, 212 yards passing, one touchdown, one pick, and he also had 13 yards rushing.
I'm going to give him credit. I will give Caleb a B- today. I thought that first quarter was just – it was literally Max – damn near the first half was just Max Crosby the game. It seemed like, holy crap, no one can stop him. And if you can't even stop this one person, the chip ain't even working, we're going to lose. And so I have to give him credit for being able to work through that and then battle back the second half. So his numbers will look like – some people might look at it and go, eh, whatever, but this was a – much better game than the paper will give him credit.
By the way, before I got breaking news, this year's Super Bowl performer, Bad Bunny, is going to be this year's Super Bowl halftime.
Deserved. Well deserved.
Shout out to Bad Bunny.
But yeah, as I was saying, it's that at the end of the day, he worked back. He had that first quarter was just rough. Getting passes out, getting into them, and the completion percentage will seem off, but we're working with the fact that I'm pretty sure Cole Kmet dropped 3 passes, 4 passes. I don't know. He dropped so many. You're also dealing with the fact that he had to come from behind a really rough first quarter, first half from the offensive line. Even if the sacks weren't there, the pressures were there. And that second half, he played brilliantly. And even the pick, man, the pick is literally, if Max Crosby doesn't bat that, that's a touchdown. At least from my view, I'd have to watch all 22.
Now, I didn't get to see the full field, but when they did right after the pick, they did like a zone out with five. First of all, I didn't know that was Adam Archuleta, who was on the call today. Former Bear, Adam Archuleta, and former Lakers play-by-play guy, Spiro Dias. So shout out to them for his old NBA TV days. But when they zoomed out, it didn't look like nobody was open. Now, like you said, you got to look at the all 22. And doing all of that. But anyway, it didn't look like anybody was open. Continue.
So with Max Crosby, you just got to kind of live with that. He is one of the best to do it. The dude just constantly gets open. So I'm not tripping that happened. That wasn't really the biggest deal to me. And so when I take that in totality, I thought Caleb had a B- game, you know. And especially sometimes hard to bounce back when you have such a incredible game, especially when you're young, at such an incredible game 1 week, and then now you're dealing with some adversity. And to see him fight back was just really, really great. So I'd give him a B- for sure. Braxton signed up for LinkedIn. That's funny. Well, what is your take on
I absolutely love what I saw from Caleb. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that one thing about Caleb is, like I said last week, he's gonna still mess up. I think the only annoying thing that happened was all the batted balls. It was 3 batted balls. Now, I don't know if that was just crazy athleticism from Max Crosby or the fact that Caleb is a short king and sometimes he can't either put that ball up a little higher. I don't know which one it was. But outside of that, there wasn't as many inaccurate throws that he had. But I just love the command. I just love how Caleb don't quit. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was the drive to get the touchdown to Rome. By the way, 10 touchdowns on the season. Just want to get that out.
I do want to say also that what you call it? Caleb is a true 6'1". I've stood next to him. I'm 6 feet flat. He is a true 6'1". And you know, the Packers are definitely going to chop. He's a true 6'1". And I don't think that's the total reason about it. I just think it's arm angle. Like, the person I see get batted, his pass batted the least, I have no statistic to go with this, just my own, just watching, I think it's probably Josh Allen, because Josh Allen, I ain't gonna say he ain't gonna, you know, throw a BLT down the middle, but Josh Allen's arm angle is literally up and out. So it's like, it's so hard to get a grasp on that. Caleb's hand is much more QBs used to back in the day. You had to throw exactly how they wanted you to throw. You had to throw the prototypical pass. Your spiral, your form need to look like the way Tom Brady was throwing or Joe Montana was throwing, or it's going to be trash or it's going to be like rejected in review. But now, of course, players throw routinely sidearm. I'm not even talking about just a literal sidearm. I mean, literally coming out the side of their arm and not that arc. And so because of that, you have to deal with the consequence of it can get batted. And so Caleb is a shorter quarterback. He was shorter. I guess I don't know what's the prototypical, probably the prototypical quarterback at 6'3". Then you have the ultra prototypical like Josh Allen, who's 6'4", 6'5". But most quarterbacks are probably 6'2", 6'3". Caleb 6'1", maybe 6 feet. 6'1", 6 feet. It's a little bit different. And because he has a little sidearm throw, that happens. And so the only thing I can think is just being aware of your angles. When you're throwing the ball, when you have to get it out, which just goes to show how insane it is to be a quarterback in the National Football League, is having to understand what my angles look like, where I throw it, how can I avoid that. Pat Mahomes is someone who does that exceptionally well. And, I mean, yeah, Pat Mahomes, as Chris Collinsworth says.
And speaking of Pat Mahomes, all you niggas, Lamar Jackson better. Go look at the score today. Just want to show y'all what happened today. Beat down, four touchdowns, baby goat. Let's not get fucked up. But
baby goat,
let's see. Baby goat. Y'all keep trying to put people over him.
He's top 10 right now. That's all goat. I'm giving him.
He got to remind him. But anyway, Caleb Williams, 202 passing yards today. He has 937 through four games. So averaging, that's about 237 a game. He's on pace for 4K yards, which would be the franchise record. I love what I saw, man. And he was excellent in the second half, excellent in the fourth quarter, despite not getting any blocking, despite having no run game whatsoever. I loved it. And I think we're in, and there's no doubt in my mind now that he's the guy. Is he going to have his ups and downs? Sure. But right, health permitting, by the end of this year, we're going to know. And then now you take the next step of building out the rest of this roster. But right, they're on track right now to win the nine games. Now, you know, of course, we'll talk about it later on in, you know, future podcasts, not tonight. So I'm tired and I need to just sit down for a little bit because I've had two high-intensity games with my team that I need to breathe. But with all of that, you know, you've got that the tougher part of the schedule coming up. There's going to be issues that aren't going to, you know, you can get away with against the bum-ass Raiders. But you're not getting right away with over at these other teams. But these other teams' defenses aren't as good. Like, we can say what we want to say about Baltimore. That defense is poop. You know what I'm saying? So there's going to be chances in there, too. But I just love what I saw from Caleb. And the best thing is his confidence is growing. He's got a coach that believes in him. He's got a coach that's not going to bullshit him. He even said this week, you know, when I first met Ben and Ben would call me out in front of the team, I thought, was he on me? Then he said, then I realized what he was doing. He said, we have a great relationship now. And, you know, Ben said on Tuesday, you know, we looked at the film on from the Cowboys game and I pointed out the stuff he did wrong. And that's what helps. I've seen tape. I've seen video of Bill Belichick talk to Tom Brady like he is the dumbest nigga to ever grace earth. And that's what you got to do. And that's the greatest of all time. You know what I'm saying? You got to have your coach and say whatever. And we're going to get the Ryan Poles there too. I'm not a Ryan Poles fan. I do not like how he's built the roster, but I got to give him credit and I got to give Kevin Warren credit for actually paying Ben Johnson. Cause this is the guy that everybody wanted and he's learning just as much as Caleb is learning. And I've been impressed with how he's bounced back. Now let's pivot to Ben Johnson. Now that was some adjustments he made in the second half. He switched out his left and right tackles. He took Theo Benedict out, and he took out Braxton Jones out. Put Ozzie in there, you put somebody else, and the other guy, and I forgot, he switched him around. That helped out tremendously. It's much better blocking at the end of the game, especially in that fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, deciding, oh, I'm going to use Kyle Manunga a little bit. And as bad as DeAndre Swift is, he done quit him, and he didn't quit him, and that's what kept Swift going to make the game win a touchdown. He had a couple big plays, and so I just love how he is growing as a head coach. I love having a coach that's a play caller who's not soft, and he knows that, oh, we can take this on fourth down. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And there's some things he got to do smarter. But I loved what I saw from him, man, and the confidence. The dude is a psycho. I don't know if you saw the halftime interview. He almost cussed that lady out. We're 2 seconds away from having Dennis Allen being our interim head coach because he's going to get problematic.
I didn't see it. I literally, when halftime happened, I said, all right, well, you know, because I think it was like 53 seconds left in the half. I'm like, please don't let these niggas like get another score before the half. It didn't happen. I said, all right. I was like 14-9. I turned my phone off. I started working on my car. And yeah. And then I see people say, oh, it's a picture of him smiling, looking at whoever was interviewing him. I don't know. So what did he say?
So they asked him. So she asked him. She was like, so you guys.
Cole Komet had 3 drops today. I knew he had 3.
Oh no. We're going to get the call in a minute. But she asked him, like, so you got to make some. He said, you guys got to, you know, make some plays. And he's like, yeah. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. He said, you got to switch it up a little bit. He looked at her like this. Like he was going to say, bitch. He looked at her like, hey, you think? And then she kind of like got the message and then the interview ended.
I'm looking at it now. Interesting.
He was fed up, though. He was fed up. He was, like I said, he was 2 seconds away from being problematic, and we had Dennis Allen as our interim head coach.
Look at that guardian helmet, man. I'm sorry. Why can't you just design a bigger, like, here's my thought. Sorry, this is unrelated, but you know how we do it on any Barber's Chair podcast. The guardian helmet to protect yourself, I absolutely understand. I think it's Dobbs, Romeo Dobbs. I absolutely understand you doing it. Protect yourself, absolutely. My issue is with the NFL helmet makers. You just can't make a bigger helmet. You know what I'm saying? It just look crazy on it. Anywho, sorry. Cut you off. Go ahead what you were saying.
No, that's all I had to say. I just love what I saw from Ben. I thought he was great. So let me know what you think about Ben. Then we will bring some bad things up, like Cole Komet, number one.
I think Ben Johnson, his outlook on the game, his fieriness, his attention to detail, his football intelligence, a football IQ are really, and I hate the term IQ. It just, even using IQ regularly, I hate doing it. But in sports, it's probably the only way it seems like actually like appropriate. There was one catch, like Nicole Komet had a touchdown in his hand or close to a touchdown in his hand. I had started working on.
No, it wasn't a touchdown, but if he'd have caught the ball, then we're at the 5-yard line. And that's instead, it got knocked down, and then Dahlman had a bad snap that brought Caleb back 20 yards and out of field
range. And I think I was like doing the interior of my car, and I got locked in. I said, oh crap, let me look. And I just see it's like 3rd and 20 or 3rd and 15, 18. And I go back on Twitter, and people are like, oh man, Cole Komet, you could have had a touchdown or something like that. That's what I thought. But having to deal with, there's a lot of issues at personnel. And, you know, it's interesting. I talk a lot about the Colston Loveland pick. I'm like, hey, he's a good tight end, but hey, you already had a tight end. Not because he was good, but like, you literally had one. Now I'm starting to think to myself, put a shower cap over curlers, but football thing, crazy. That's true. But now that I think about it, it's like, man, right. Colston Loveland, you need to hurry up and get healthy, brother. The Bears desperately need a sure-handed receiving tight end. I'm gonna go up and get it over a DB or linebacker tight end, and I can make the tough catches. And you got to get there. Here's the thing: you can find a blocking tight end, bro. You find a blocking tight end. I don't even need you to be a great block. In today's NFL, who's really a great blocking tight end? You know. Travis Kelce is a solid blocking tight end because Travis Kelce is smart and understands leverage and angles. Kittle is a solid blocking tight end, but none of them, like, we're not looking like back in the day with the blocking tight ends who were great blockers and also great catchers. I just need who were in solid catchers. Now we got great catchers, solid blockers. All I need you to really do as a tight end is you need to work with your tackle. You need to make sure you're helping them pick up any blitzes, and that's fine. And so because of that, I can see why Colston Loveland is such a necessary pick. But Ben Johnson, I will give Ben Johnson a B+ today because I don't think, you know, I don't want to give it A- because it still was a sloppy game. And it's, so it's more on principle than anything else. But he battled back with the fact that the O-line was just surprisingly only gave up a single sack. You won when your line gave up a single, when your line was getting pressured all the time, only gave a single sack. And then also your defensive line didn't get a single sack, which I have some thoughts about that when we're talking about the negatives of today's game. But yeah, that's how I feel about that.
Number one negative of today's game, Cole Kmet.
Javon Dexter is the number one. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, all them dudes on the defensive line is number one. But Cole Kmet, bring your ass this day. What did T.I. say at birthday bash back in 2005 when he was beefing with Lil Flip? Lil nigga, I'm the leader of the troop. Got a nigga walk around with a Lucky Charm suit.
Then he said, Flip, bring your punk ass out or something like that.
Yeah, he said, anybody seen Lil Flip lately? He said, what can we get for Kmet in a trade? Years worth
of black, some black and miles, nigga. You can't get nothing for him.
Yeah, exactly. He said, really nitpick scenario, but you think they should have gone for two out of the wrong two? Yes, the first one, yes. I thought he was tweaking. Yeah. I thought he was tweaking for sure.
Over two.
But Cole Kmet, like you said, when they drafted Colston Loveland, I think everybody was like, huh? Because we knew that they were trying to get Ashton Jeanty. Even Ryan Poles admitted that they were trying to get Ashton Jeanty. But they, I think it was Ray, they didn't want to give up the draft capital, I guess, to move up. So they wanted Colston Loveland, more specifically, Ben wanted Colston Loveland. And, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, Ty Warren's better. And Ty Warren's actually killing in Indianapolis right now. But,
Ty Warren had one of the best seasons in college football history at the tight end position. Like I get it, Colston Loveland. If you look at their careers, I think Colston Loveland was like 500 yards.
Kmet, get ready to speak gumbo.
That's funny. I think Colston Loveland was like 500 yards one his first starting season, 600 years the next, and Tyler Warren was like 300 his first year, then like 1400 the next. But we saw with Tyler Warren. The only reason Penn State got as far as they did is because Drew Allar had the Tyler Warren down there somewhere, tight end. He was going up on everybody.
Drew Allar, I know what kind of man you are.
Trash. Drew Allar, last year, I said, man, after that, because who they lost? I think they lost to Notre Dame. I said, Drew Allar, you have the potential to be a solid college quarterback, but sometimes the football IQ is not there. It ain't there now. But anywho. Tyler Warren seemed like the obvious person, but they got Colston Loveland. And I'm mad, but I'm not going to act like it's a good thing. But Colston Loveland has shown that he is definitely far more of a pass-catching tight end, and the Bears desperately need him back.
Yeah, I mean, but anybody who watched Cole Kmet know he's not reliable. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Cole move and catch footballs like he ain't 6'5", whatever he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's too big to be moving the way he be moving, bro. So, yeah, that was the number one thing. He messed up so many things. Not just the drops. Not just the not coming up to Caleb to helping him on that one third down. But the false starts. Yeah, like two false starts. Like, you can't be doing that and not catching.
Yeah, three drops, two false starts. What a terrible, terrible game by a tight end. Just terrible.
And that type of stuff that Ben don't play. So if Colston is healthy in a couple of weeks, which I suspect he will be, you're not going to see Cole Kmet on that field. I can pretty much guarantee that. Let's go on to your other negatives of the game.
Javon Dexter. Obviously, it's a lot more than single Javon Dexter, but Javon Dexter seems to be the focal point of a lot of people. Man, he's gotten so much better. He does all these things. I want to go out on a limb and say no. I think the Bears need to immediately start to find trade partners and then in the offseason find some talent in the draft or free agency and pick up a better defensive tackle. For all of the work that he has put in, which he's strong, he lost weight, he's athletic, his form struggles the Montez, which is crazy. His form struggled.
I ain't going to lie. That's kind of disrespectful to Vooch.
Low-key. His form struggles. So much so that you might get a snap where he comes and he has nice leverage. He's low. He can get to the quarterback. But often his first thought is to go straight up in the air. And as a defensive tackle, bro, as a defensive lineman, you just can't do that. And too often, at least like this week, obviously, because Grady Jarrett wasn't playing, but it was Grady Jarrett by himself on the line, where and Javon is aside, outside of him doing nothing. And the Bears have to move on. So you struck out on both of those picks. You had Zach Pickens, who ain't there. I'm one of those Zach Pickens in the league. And then you had Javon Dexter. You struck out on both. You need to get someone else. It can't be that we're having another game where you don't get a sack. That just can't happen. Last game, when I even asked Ben Johnson after the game, you know, your line has struggled to get a sack. They got like two or three this game. He's like, well, it's easy when you're only passing. That was even Ben Johnson himself is saying, yeah, they got it, but Cowboys had to pass the vast majority of that second half. So it makes it easier because that's the tough thing about being a defensive lineman. You have to account for the run. You have to account for the pass. But when a team is down by three scores, they're passing only. I know how to attack those lanes. And the Bears were struggling. The defensive line, Javon included, were struggling mightily. And I think the best decision is the Bears to move on. And so it's not even specifically Javon. It's that entire defensive line. Because, like, Montez Sweat, like, what are you getting from him? And it to me, it goes back to when, obviously, oh, just, man, it goes back. I'm crying because I know who that is. It goes back to the fact that I think Montez was really good in Washington. He was with the Commanders, I believe, when Chase Young was there. And obviously, I don't know if Chase Young is in the league again. But you had two players of pretty even skill level. It made it easy for him to do his thing. You didn't have anybody to focus on. Montez obviously gets the focal point on defense, but he ain't doing enough either. And the Bears, DBs, and linebackers have shown, even though we're swapping people out, we can still make some plays. And so you have to help them. If I had to have a great defensive backfield and a great linebacker core but a trash defensive line, or a trash secondary and a trash linebacker core but a great defensive line core – give me the defensive line core. They will always make it easy on you. The linemen, the hogs, are the source of the football game. If you have great talent coaching there, you can do it with anybody. And so the Bears have to get that right. It's just it's a waste now. And I'm seeing it day by day. I'm seeing bad form, not enough leverage, not enough strength, and the Bears have to make some moves.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, man. It's not just it's the look, man. This is what I've always said. Ryan Poles has got to stop drafting linemen who have the little engine that could sword. Enough. You need dogs in the trenches, on the offensive trenches and on the defensive trenches. You need niggas who will mow down the defensive line, and you need the defensive line who will mow down the offensive line to get to the quarterback. You see how Max Crosby was just floating, looking like 86 Lawrence Taylor? That's an elite talent. We ain't seen an elite talent on the defensive line here in Chicago in 5 years when Khalil Mack was here. You know what I'm saying? We know what good defensive lines look like because the Bears have always had good defensive lines. If you have those dudes up front for the offensive line, even somebody like DeAndre Swift can get open more. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have those. You're not going to win football games in 2025 without dogs. Why did the Philadelphia Eagles win the Super Bowl last year? Because they got dogs on the offensive line and defensive line. Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey, a whole bunch of other people that I don't forget on there because they so cold. Defensive line. Dogs made Patrick Mahomes' life a living hell. How did the New York Giants beat the New England Patriots twice? Dogs on the defensive line, bro. You know what I'm saying? How did the Legion of Boom beat the highest scoring offense in NFL history? Blow them out. Dogs. You need dogs on the line. And the Bears don't even have anything close to that. Montez Sweat is making $100 million USD. American dollars. I do not be knowing he is dressed up for games. Like, you don't hear his name called. It ain't right. Nothing. Gert Vaughn, like, somebody said Grady Jarrett was hurt. I couldn't tell because it'd be the same thing when he playing.
Right, right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just bad. Now, I think the offensive line is better than the defensive line, which is terrible. You know, the defensive line is just bad. And you and Montez Sweat is a good guy if he's like your third option on a team.
Yeah.
Like, remember in 2018, we had them dogs on the line, and it was Khalil, it was Leonard Floyd, it was Akeem Hicks, it was Eddie Goldman. He is good in the Leonard
Floyd. They got us remembering Leonard Floyd fairly.
And by the way, Leonard Floyd has been a dog since he left Chicago. He's averaged 8 sacks every year since.
Yeah.
Every year since. But he'd be good in the Eddie Goldman, Leonard Floyd role from 2018.
Right.
If you, let's just say they went out there and they actually would have traded for Micah, right? If you had a Micah and, you know, a second tier pass rusher, then Montez Sweat is really, really good as number three. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be one of the many problems you're going to have in these next 13 games, because you're going to be playing better quarterbacks. Look at the four quarterbacks you've played so far. J.J. McCarthy, trash. Jared Goff is good, but guess what? Jared Goff can be got. Then you had last week, Dakota. He's good, but he can be got, as he was.
Right.
This week, you had Geno Smith, who is buns. I have to say it. He was throwing tuna melts all up and down the field. It was ridiculous. Who you got coming up? Jaden Daniels is going to be ready. You know, he hasn't had the best of seasons. When you have a defense that has not been given pressure, you're going to give him time to make plays. You know what I'm saying? You've got Lamar Jackson coming up. You ducked Joe Burrow, thank God. But you got what the Eagles are going to do to us on Black Friday. Just watch basketball. Just watch basketball that day. There's an NBA lineup that comes on after Eagles and Bears. Watch that.
Right.
Because that is because the Eagles are a locomotive. Right. Like, the Eagles look better than last year. What you look, you saw what Axon Jensen did. Imagine what Saquon Barkley is gonna do that day. But you gotta face the Eagles. You know what I'm saying? You gotta face Jordan Love twice. I know we can sit up here and say what we want to say about Jordan Love, but he'd be tearing the Bears up. Let's just be real about it. You know what I'm saying? So you've got all these other quarterbacks that is going to have time because the defense can't put pressure. I don't know. Maybe Pose makes another deadline move. You know, he's good for one of those now. But as constructed, this defensive line is going to be the biggest issue to having this team win the amount of games we hope they win.
Right.
It's just that simple. Yeah, exactly. They're not even going to need the tush push. They're not even going to need it. Said Gino was serving up soggy Italian beefs. Yeah, so he's not going to dump truck. Exactly, man. I'm trying to see. What else is there to go on before we wrap this up? What do you think about the receivers? You know what I'm saying? I do feel like the ball was spread across. I think DJ had some good plays. Rome, man. Rome was the best wide receiver in his draft class.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, especially with everything you said just about the fact that there's so many things they have to get right, so many stuff they have to get ahead of them. The Eagles game is an absolute loss. They're going to get smoked. It's going to be bad. I advise you do something else with your time. But I still think if the Bears are
– that game is 2 months from now, but we just let y'all know ahead of time.
The Bears will handicap themselves if they're not making changes on that defensive and offensive line. Like, offensive line-wise, the biggest struggle is – what I don't understand is that the Bears have found another way to have a line that knows how to pass block, because they did better, especially the second half. First half was rough. Only 1 sack is shocking, a lot of pressure. And I probably would – I would attribute that to the Caleb is very, very shifty in the backfield, in the pocket. But there is right. This is where we really need the Bears to get much better players. There's no dogs. And because of that, you're going to see the Eagles and teams that really have great offensive line smoke them. So you want to avoid that, you got to start making some changes. And it starts with Ryan Poles drafting better, free agent, just personnel-wise better.
That is true, and we did give Tyreek his love at the beginning of the pod. Shout out to Tyreek for really going well. And I just, even though the defense got shredded at times, I do gotta give the defense love for actually stepping up. You know what I'm saying? They put the game, they didn't let the game get away when the offense was BSing. You know what I'm saying? So that's good for them as well, man. Dennis Allen, I just love his game. I love the coaching on this team, you know what I'm saying, which is something that we were not saying the last couple of years. Sakai was really good in the pocket. One of the biggest reasons. Yes, he's starting to learn how to play in structure. Starting to learn the footwork is looking good. I just love everything I see from Caleb, man. Anything else? Now we're going to wrap this episode up, episode 275. So tomorrow, if you want to check it out, I'm not going to hold you. Of course, it's on in the mornings now. It's like 9 a.m., but we start off with the local hour, which is on Patreon now. So subscribe to the Patreon. The link is in the description box. So if you watch this on a smart TV or something, scan the QR code up here and it'll take you right there. We're going to start the show off talking about the Bears. I'll be with Bang. I'll be with Courtney. So we're going to break that down. And then I'm going to do a first quarter recap pod on Thursday instead of our preview pods. This is a bye week. Me and Mikey will recap the first quarter of the season. There'll be no I'm not going to hold you on Friday because me and this man right here are going to Ohio to watch the Ohio State under the lights, Saturday night lights, going up against Minnesota. This is my first college football game.
Why are we playing them at night? What are we doing? Like, them niggas suck. We're going to smoke them something crazy.
It's atmosphere.
I am excited to see. It's been a long time since I've seen a night game, but them niggas stink. So. Anywho.
Yeah, man. Great sports weekend for us. 3 for 3. 3 for 3. I am very happy. You know to follow us on all social media platforms. We'll talk about when we get closer to it, but on Monday Night Football in 2 weeks, since I'm going to the games, it's on the East Coast, it's going to be late. The podcast will probably drop a day or two later. We're going to figure out how we're going to do that schedule. But yeah, I will be in DC in that shithole of a stadium, which is FedEx Field or whatever the hell they call it now, which is not going to be that much longer because they did get their new stadium approved at the old construction site of the old Washington Stadium. Oh, did Jordan Love throw a meatball?
So somebody just told me BLT me, and so I immediately turned and I'm looking at my phone right now, and I'm like, do we have a BLT spotter? Oh, Cowboys had 12 men on the field.
Oh, those fucking idiots.
Yeah, so that's not going
to
count.
By the way, shout out to everybody on Twitter who made Joe's BLT huge. Because now...
You know, and it's funny, like, because too many men don't feel, niggas had a prime BLT and wasted it. But folks just be saying, like, everything now. It's a meatball sub. It's burger meat, stew meat. Big and tasty.
Yeah, what'd you say? You said a couple weeks ago, golf through something meat.
I said golf through some burger meat down the seams.
All the different variations of being. Yeah, and shout out DeMarco on Twitter. He said, Green Bay lose and we right back in the division. That's funny because it's true.
It is.
Anybody in division outside of Minnesota would be 2-2. That is hilarious.
I'm setting a queue right now with all the post-game videos of the Bears, and I'm about to just watch them highlights.
Oh,
I get to work tomorrow. I'm looking at my students and do what y'all want to do. I'm watching these videos. I done seen enough of after big games, people who says, hey, guys, we fought as a family.
It's like, brother, my watch later is full of Chicago Bears and Arsenal post-game videos. I am finna be watching all of that. Like the Doug happening gift for him sitting on the couch. Let's see what they got to say now. So, but anyway, it is your boy Scott, your boy's Flo. If you can follow us at Barbchair Scott, at Flo's Annalini, at Second House. Is that Brett Favre on the sidelines? What police at? Right. Get him right. What did Stephen A. say? Arrest that man. Arrest him now.
He's like a sexual predator. He also stole money. He stole money. Medicaid fund. I don't want to hear Medicare fund.
No, they don't care in Dallas. Anyway, yeah, so follow us at Barbershop Scott, at Flo's Annalini, at Second Night the House, at Barbershop Co. Y'all have a good night, and tomorrow is Victory Monday, and the Bears don't play for 2 weeks. We get to be happy about this one for a little longer, man. So we appreciate y'all. If y'all missed the stream, it will be up on the Patreon early tomorrow, and it will be up on the regular feeds by the end of the day. So we appreciate y'all. We up out of here, man.
Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. can trust the source for the news. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis in your ears. You.
Awesome. The Bears.